If we're going to run to win, we better examine what winning runners do. So Paul doesn't say, go for just a leisurely walk. Just walk aimlessly through life and just kind of go with the flow. He says, I want you to run to win. He doesn't even say, go for a lazy jog. He says, run to win. Hey, it's great to see you. You know, if you and I got to sit down and have coffee together, there's one thing I bet you'd discover about me pretty quickly, and that is that I am extremely passionate. I'm an all or nothing kind of girl. Now, when God calls me to something, I'm all in. But if there's one thing I've realized after following Jesus for over 30 years of my life, it's that starting strong is not enough. We're also called to finish well. And in today's message, I've got a word that's going to inspire you to not only run the race that God has called you to, but also to finish it full of faith. So let's dive in and watch this today. I am so grateful that you've joined us today. I know that God has a word for you, and this is an on-time program for your life right now. So keep your heart open, keep your ears open, and I'm believing that the Holy Spirit of God is going to speak a now word into your heart and in your spirit. You've joined us during one of my favorite series that we've ever done. We're talking about running the race of life that God has called us to run. Do you realize that you are not here by accident? You were created by God for a relationship with God. It's Jesus that connects you to God, and it's Jesus that connects us to the grace of God. God created us before we were formed in our mother's womb. The scripture says God knew us. He knitted together our innermost parts in our mother's womb. He put us on this earth, filled us with God-given destiny, filled us with God-given potential so that we could fulfill His purposes here on the earth. So you're not here by accident. This life is not an accident. You were created on purpose, for purpose. This life is likened to running a marathon race. We've been learning through this series that we are not running in a sprint. I know we live in a generation where we just think, man, we want to be an overnight success. I want to get to my purpose tomorrow. But we're not running a sprint. We're running in a marathon. And a marathon runner runs very, very differently to a sprinter. You've got to build different muscles. You've got to build different disciplines. You've got to build a different strength. You've got to have a whole different mindset to run a marathon than a sprint. And so we've talked about so many facets of all of that. We're focusing at the moment on the very act of running. We know that there is an art to running, and we want to learn how to run this Christian life very, very well. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul talks about the fact that we're running in a race and that we should run to win. In the book of Hebrews chapter 12, again, we're likened to the spiritual running race, that we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Therefore, let us also, the writer to the Hebrews say, run the race that is set before us. The running imagery is rampant throughout Scripture. It's woven all the way through Scripture. So I figure since Scripture talks a lot about running, we ought to get very good at understanding the art of running. And I love this because Paul repeatedly uses the word run. We see that throughout his epistles, and he draws the image of an athlete in a stadium. So what might he be trying to show us, do you think? What is it about the art of running that is so crucial? What is it about running itself that is so crucial that we see it as a repeated theme throughout Scripture? You know, why doesn't Paul say, so stroll to win or walk to win? Or crawl to win, or skip to win, or hop to win, or push bike to win, or swim to win. He actually says run to win. He uses the term run extremely deliberately. So I've been so fascinated by the image of a runner that Paul uses that I went to Runner's World. Yes, the Bible. The Runner's World to research what is it about running that you and I should know. If Paul says run, 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 run to win, what is it about running? So, you know, what better magazine than Runner's World to learn how to run to win? So apparently you're about to learn as much as I did. We learned a lot about marathons. We're going to learn a lot about the art of running. So apparently there are many different ways of running, but there is a way of running that means we can each win. Now, I want to know, how should I run in order to run my race and to finish my course? I think it's so important that we not only realize we're running in a marathon and not a sprint, but that we also know what athletes know about the very act of running that enables them to win. So this series it's going to help runners and non-runners alike. Don't tune off if you don't like to run, because this is especially for you. If you don't like to run, naturally speaking, then you need to know the principles of running so that you can run your spiritual race. Our spiritual running race is the kind of running we do not get to vote on. We're all called to run our race and to finish our course, whether we like to run or not. So this teaching applies equally to every single one of us. I've been a runner for many, many decades. I use that word very loosely, but I do frequently jog. And, you know, before I was as old as I am now, I used to jog a whole lot more. But my knees and my ankles, I've become that woman now. My kids roll their eyes. But I still love nothing more than to go and to a new city where I'm going to have the opportunity to preach the gospel and then just run through the streets of that city. I've done it for decades. It just helps me feel, you know, just my feet on the pavement of the city just makes me feel very connected to the city, connected to the people of the city. I love being out in nature. I love running along the coastline. I love running anywhere. And so, you know, I'm not a marathon runner, but I do regularly run. Maybe 5 or 6 miles, and it's one of my greatest passions. So when I first started running, the truth is I had no idea what I was doing. And as more seasoned runners came alongside me, and they began to give me some tips which actually helped my running process. I learned how to enjoy and to thrive in like my newfound running hobby. So before some of my running friends helped me, I had great intentions, but I'd run out of steam after running around like one block. I'd go around the block and go, okay, you know, the first time, like I ran out to the letterbox and then I ran out of steam. Then I could make it to the end of the street. Then I did a block. If I was honest, even in those early days, I have to admit, before I really knew what I was doing, that I hated every single second of it. It's just like, I'm sure some of you can relate. I'm like, what am I doing? Why am I doing this for? So maybe to extend this metaphor into the spiritual realm, I want to say that I realize some of us are just barely getting by in life. So like me in my early days of running, man, we are not loving this spiritual race. We're struggling, if we're honest, in our faith. We don't feel like we're living the life of purpose that we're here to live. You know, I'm talking about God creating you on purpose for a purpose, and you're like, Chris, this is just hard work. I don't feel any purpose. Chris, this is just hard. This is really difficult. This is very painful. This is not what I thought it was going to be. So in this series, I want to be to you what my friends were to me in my early days of running. Someone that comes alongside and gives you some wisdom that I've gained from all of my experience. And it might help you to run a little more effortlessly in this race of life and to actually get to the point where you start to love it and where you earnestly desire to live the abundant, purpose-driven, passionate life that Jesus Christ came to give us. You don't have to dread your race. I know right now that some of you feel like that, like, Chris, this is just too hard and I'm dreading every day. I'm believing God by the power of the Spirit that you're going to get to this place where you're not dreading your race, where you can love it, where you can actually enjoy it, where you can thrive in it, where you get up with a spring in your step, with a glint in your eye, knowing that following Jesus, it's not easy, but it's an adventure. There is no life like the life of following Jesus. There is no life like running your race and finishing your course. There is no life like discovering you were created on purpose for a purpose, that you are not an accident, that God has a plan and a purpose for you. There is no life like living the God life that God's put you on this earth to live. And so firstly, let's establish, just for the sake of it, what running actually is. So the dictionary says that to run is to exert oneself. I guess we get all of that, don't we? It's to spend one's strength in performing or attaining something. So here is the deal. God wants us to spend our strength to exert ourselves in pursuing the life of purpose that He has given us. See, our goal as Jesus followers is not to just sort of sit back and just wait for life to happen. If you're as old as me, you might remember there was a song that Doris Day used to sing, and most of you might not even know who she is, but it was like, "Que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be. The future is not ours to see, que sera, sera." Well, I'm here to tell you, that is not true. You do not have to just sit back and wait for life to happen. But we have agency in Christ. The same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives on the inside of us. We can be who God says we can be. We can do what God says we can do. We can have what God says we can have in His Word. We have agency through the power of the Holy Spirit to rise up and be all that God's called us to be. Life is not que sera, sera. God is sovereign. God is in control. And God invites us into this passionate, purpose-driven adventure. In John 10:10, Jesus said, "I came that you might have life," and not some boring, religious, small life. He said, "I came that you might have life and life more abundant." When the life of God lives on the inside of you, you can know what it is to have an abundant life, a passionate life, a purpose-driven life. And I want us to get up and go after that life, to start to run the race that God has set before us. Not just wait for things to fall into our lap, but to get up and to run our race.
Struggles and setbacks are hurdles we all face. We can all find ourselves in a place of confusion and discouragement, wondering how we got there. We get tempted to give up, looking for a path of escape. Despite the adversity, however, this is not the time to quit. In fact, in this race called life, you are made to win. Through Christine Kane's inspiring 8-part series, Run to Win, and her transformative book, How Did I Get Here?, you will receive the truth and encouragement you need to run your race, finish your course, and live in God's amazing purpose for you.
You're still here. God still has a plan for your life. God still has a purpose for your life. There is still a race for you to run. You are not at the finish line yet.
These resources will help you discover your next steps to experience all the good things God has for you in your future. Friends, your generosity reaches people with the hope and grace of Jesus Christ through the media and ministry outreaches of TBN. So, to say thank you for your generous gift of $30 or more, we'll send you your very own copies of both Christine's Run to Win series and her powerful book, How Did I Get Here? Please take a moment right now to call 800-350-5170 or go securely online to tbn.org/run to win. Remember, God made you a winner. So don't just run, run to win.
If we're going to finish strong, then we need to look after every single area of our lives. I want us to turn to the book of 1 Thessalonians, and we're going to see here how important all of this is to God. So in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and the Bible tells us in verse 23, he says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." May your whole spirit and soul and body. It all matters to God. You see, what happens is some people, they focus so totally on the spiritual and they neglect their souls and their body. And then they wonder why they burn out or simply do not make it to the finish line. So to be a strong and a healthy Christian, you need the whole package, body, soul and spirit. So for optimal performance, we need to train all three areas. As followers of Jesus Christ, we need to understand that our bodies are the vehicles that will take us to our destiny. This body houses the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. It blows me away that God would put such treasure in this earthen vessel. I mean, 1 Corinthians 3:16, do you not know that you are the temple of God, that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If that does not blow your mind, I actually don't know what will. That the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives on the inside of me and lives on the inside of you. You see, you and I, we are so aware of our frailties, of our brokenness, but somehow the God of the universe, such a mystery, has chosen to place His Spirit on the inside of you and me. This is a profound mystery, that we are carriers of God to our generation. That these flawed, broken, marked, stained containers carry the very presence of God. Jesus said, out of you will flow rivers of living water into a lost and a broken world. So it matters. Our bodies matter. Obviously, God thinks our body is a good thing, and He's given us lots of keys and knowledge on how to best look after this body. Our health is critical, because you can have the best spiritual intentions, but if your body can't function, then you inadvertently cut your destiny short. We should, to the best of our ability, and of course I know there are so many mitigating factors, but to the best of our ability, we should ensure that we exercise and that we eat well in order to function well. You know, this is a health and fitness issue, not a vanity issue. I'm not at all talking about vanity. There's so much knowledge and information available nowadays on how to maximize our energy and to function at whatever is our own personal optimal capacity. Everybody's different, and we all need different things in order to fuel our bodies. And let's be committed to doing what we can to run long and to run well. We of all people have an eternal reason to look after our bodies. We know it's going to wear out one day. There is no denying it, every single one of us. And we don't need it, though, necessarily to wear out sooner than it needs to. It's the only one we're going to get this side of eternity. So we ought to make a decision that we're going to carry God well in this body. And Paul says, I discipline my body, and I bring it into subjection. He doesn't let his body do whatever his body wants to do. He does not let his body rule when it comes to carnal pleasures, to immorality or gluttony or drunkenness, the things that the Scripture talks about. Paul made his body submit to his spirit man. You see, the fact is, every single one of us, you and I, we've been given the fruit of the Spirit called self-control. Man, that's a word for this day and age. We don't need to live out of control lives, because we've been given self-control. And there are many areas of our life that we need to begin to exercise that fruit, give it some work to do, and say, man, I'm just not going to go and do whatever it is that I want to do. I'm just not going to give in to whatever craving it is that I've got. I have got the fruit of the Spirit of self-control. And greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. You know, I know some of you, you're listening to this and you're like, but Chris, what about 1 Timothy 4:8 that says, bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things. I mean, I know some of you, you have got that sign up on your mirror. Bodily exercise profits a little. I laugh. It's amazing in 3 decades, just how I've heard people use this as an excuse to literally not look after their own bodies. It's just like, no, I don't want to do that. And, you know, it is true. You're absolutely right. According to Scripture, this tent, it's not eternal. But let's allow it to be used up properly before we get our new and our eternal body. It doesn't say that bodily exercise does not profit at all. So I want the little profit that it does to actually benefit my body. So some people will not fulfill their purpose simply because they have not looked after themselves in a way that they could so that their body could take them to their purpose. And of course, I want to pause right now and say, I certainly understand that everyone's got different physical limitations. Perhaps others have got different abilities. And it's like, well, Christine, you know, I was born with certain conditions. I was, of course, there is no condemnation here. There is no judgment here, not at all. And I understand the fact is that we all have our own limitations, but I'm talking to those of us that can make choices about the kinds of things that we eat, the things that we put into our body, the exercise and the nourishment that we give to our body. What I'm saying is if we can make a difference, listen to Mama Chris, it is going to help you run your race and finish your course. Some of you are not sleeping well, and it's because of your exercise habits. It's because of your food habits. And some of you, you're just constantly feeling bad every day. And people always, I'm saying this to help you. People ask me, Chris, how do you sort of seem to be perky and get up and keep going and travel so much and preach the gospel and do the things that you do? And a large part of that, of course, it's the grace of God, the divine enablement of God. But you'll see me in my jet lag delirium states, I'm still on an elliptical or on a treadmill in certain parts of the world or running or making sure that, you know, to the best of my ability, where I'm able, that I'm making wise choices about the things that I fuel my body with so that my body will go longer. So just take this as friendly encouragement from Mama Chris that in order for us to do what God has called us to do, we've got to maintain a certain level of fitness and alertness. You know, I just do so much traveling. I do so much speaking. I want to be an active grandmother. I'm saying this in case my kids watch this show. I want them to get married and have grandchildren for me and Nick. And so, you know what? I'm 55 as I'm speaking to you today. So that means I'm not likely to become a grandmother, I don't think, well and truly until I'm into my 60s. So I better be fit if I want to hold my grandkids, if I want to run with my grandkids, if I want to push my grandkids on the swings. I've got to be fit. So the fact is that I'm in my mid-50s and I feel stronger spiritually and emotionally and physically than I have done so in years. But it comes with great intentionality and great purpose because I want to run my race well. So my why is the thing that helps me make those choices. You know, one of my favorite verses of scripture is 3 John chapter 2. And I love it because this is where John writes, "Beloved, I pray that you prosper and are in good health just as your soul prospers." I love the fact that in this verse, John prioritized the importance of a very, very healthy soul. And next week when we come back, we're going to talk about the fact that not only does God want us to have a strong body that's going to help us run our race and finish our course, but He wants us to have a healthy, prosperous soul. You will be stunned at how important a healthy soul is to be able to run your race and to finish your course. Some of us, we are blaming things and making things spiritual issues that are actually not spiritual issues. They are soul issues. And if we would address our soul issues, we would find that we would be able to run unhindered, that we would get a new spring in our step. We would be able to, kind of metaphorically speaking, put our foot on the gas a little bit harder and run our spiritual race and finish our spiritual course. Our bodies matter to God, our souls matter to God, and our mind matters to God. Cannot wait to see you next week. Thanks again for watching today. More than anything, I hope you know right now that God is with you, that He is for you, and that He's given you the gift of the Holy Spirit to empower you to run your race and to finish your course. Now, we only have a few minutes left together, so I want to encourage you to take one more key step. Call the number on the screen or go online and share the love of Christ through TBN's ministry. Today's message was just a small part of it, and I know it's going to help you run the race that God has called you to.
Struggles and setbacks are hurdles we all face. We can all find ourselves in a place of confusion and discouragement, wondering how we got there. We get tempted to give up, looking for a path of escape. Despite the adversity, however, this is not the time to quit. In fact, in this race called life, you are made to win. through Christine Kane's inspiring 8-part series, Run to Win, and her transformative book, How Did I Get Here? You will receive the truth and encouragement you need to run your race, finish your course, and live in God's amazing purpose for you.
You're still here. God still has a plan for your life. God still has a purpose for your life. There is still a race for you to run. You are not at the finish line yet.
These resources will help you discover your next steps to experience all the good things God has for you in your future. Friends, your generosity reaches people with the hope and grace of Jesus Christ through the media and ministry outreaches of TBN. So, to say thank you for your generous gift of $30 or more, we'll send you your very own copies of both Christine's Run to Win series and her powerful book, How Did I Get Here? Please take a moment right now to call 800-350-5170 or go securely online to tbn.org/run to win. Remember, God made you a winner. So don't just run to win.